I just tapped it because I heard it. I was just like, hey. Sorry, it's just one of those things today. All right, so we are in Proverbs. You know, I looked for a pen all day today and didn't have one. So now I have one. Proverbs chapter 20. That's where we are. We'll look at a couple of verses that have to do with business. And not business per se. Let me find, there it is. But in how we deal with other people. It amazes me, Christians, children of God, people who are proud to call themselves Christians, feel that they can cheat lost people. Anybody ever met people like that? I have in my life. Where Christians, they have this justification. Well, they're lost. Or they're vile. Or they're wicked. What's that got to do with it? Because I tell you, the onus or the responsibility, the burden is upon us on how we live our life. Not on whether or not they're a sinner. Because if you just go on that, you're a sinner too. Okay? Oh, no, I haven't done anything as bad as they have. Okay, well, it doesn't say that. The Bible says what it takes to be a sinner, does it? That you have to be as bad as other people. Okay? The Bible just says you have to go against God's word. Isn't that what sin is? The definition is going against God's word. Okay? Whether you lie on your income tax report, whether you lie, I don't know, get a job, get a loan from the bank, okay? It's you are the one that's judged as a sinner. And it's you, your actions toward other people, how you deal with other people, is how business is conducted. Okay? Another thing that Christians say, well, you know, businessmen are, they're rich, and they're just, well, I've known way too many businessmen that are poor. You know, whether they make any money. Did you know that business people, people who are self-employed, have to pay their quarterly taxes? You know what a quarterly tax is? You know, it's 3 months, right? Everybody knows that's a quarter of a year, is 3 months. In advance. They have to estimate, okay, I don't know if I'm going to make the same as I made last year, but according to that estimate, I need to pay X amount of dollars for the next 3 months. They haven't made a dime yet, and yet the government requires them to pay taxes early. How's that? Business and operating taxes. You haven't made a dime yet, and you owe business and operating taxes. For a brief stint of time, I opened up a business here in Spokane. Within 2 weeks, I received a thing from the state of Washington say, don't forget to pay your taxes at the end of the year. I haven't even done any business yet. Just getting things set up. And yet, I owe the I owe them money already. I got the gentle reminder, don't forget to pay your taxes. You're kidding me. Now, when I work for somebody, my taxes are always done in arrears, okay? Which means that I make the money, and then I pay taxes on that money I've already made. That's in arrears. That comes after. Okay? But for some reason, just because it's business, they figure, did you know businesses also pay twice as much for a business phone? Holy, sometimes it's four times as much, depending on which jurisdiction you're in. You pay four times as much. This church pays more for their phone and stuff than you would for your private home line. Why? It's a business. Why? Why does it pay more? Well, because businesses are rich. What? You know, in dealing with, in business, it's dealing with other people, okay? We got to do things right and above board. We as Christians, we have children of God. We who say that, hey, I'm a child of God and I testify to you about Jesus and his love and his mercy and his salvation. We have to be above board. Which means no matter how unfair we think it is, we got to do it. Suck it up and pay it. Okay. This next couple of verses, And I told you it was verse 10, verse 14, verse 17, and verse 23. Divers weight are an abomination. Okay? To God. To the Lord. Not to me. Not to anybody else. Not to the guy across the street. Not to the lost person. It doesn't matter what they think about business. It's you and God about business, about your dealings with other people. I have known Christians, I will use that term loosely, who go ahead and sign something. I agree to pay X amount of dollars for this item. You know, buying stuff on loans. Okay. And then when they run tight of money, they say, oh, it doesn't matter. I don't have to pay that company. And they don't. It's like, wait a minute, you were being dishonest. Because that was your attitude when you went in and you signed the paper. Okay. There are people that do that. They go out and sign loans for houses, cars, and whatever. And, you know, first opportunity. I'm saying first opportunity because any little excuse, they come up and they say, oh, I don't have to pay that, even though I promised that I would. Remember that piece of paper you signed? Anybody ever read the 30 pages before it? No. Or the five or six? Somebody has. Good. I tried once. It's like, okay, by the time I got to page five, it's like, man, they're just going around a circle on themselves. Okay? By the time I got to page 10, it's okay, this is the third time they've come around that circle. Why? Because they want to make sure people stick to their end of the bargain. People just say, well, word used to be just, you know, my word's a good thing. It can't be that way anymore. Why? Because people are cheaters. They will cheat other people out of their work. Okay? They will cheat. That's why, you know, contract law is a big thing. When you make a contract and you sign your name, you're basically saying, I agree, I will abide by this contract. And too many Christians use the excuse, oh, they're just a lost person. They're just a wicked person. They just, wait a minute. That's not us. Okay? You can't use that excuse. Oh, they're just a rich business corporation people, and I don't need to pay them. They're rich already. It doesn't matter. If you sign that paper, you darn well better pay. Because God expects it of his children. Okay? Same with working for somebody. And I have people come up and they tell me, no, that's not the way it is. You know, we shouldn't be unequally yoked with evildoers. Well, then you should never sign the contract with them to begin with. Or if your boss is, you know, I don't have to work as hard, give it my all, like I'm working for God. And besides the way, God says that whatever you do, do all things like you're working for God. Put your 100% out there. Why? Because God expects it of you, not your boss. Okay. God expects you to put 110% out on your job. Okay. To be honest and above board with your boss. Because you can cheat your boss by not working as hard as you ought, as you should. I have known plenty of people that... Minute the boss is gone, or they just kind of, you know, slough off. They come up, find their little corner where they're not seen, and they just, you know, oh, okay, I'm just going to do this, okay? Or I've heard some companies, they will purposely sabotage the assembly line so that way they get a break. What? They would do that? Yeah. Because they can't leave, there's some assembly lines you can't leave for breaks, or you can't leave even if something happens, because if they expect to get it done soon, they're not going to send you home to expect, you know, the assembly line's going to go on. Okay. And so these people used to go in, you know, in the break room or whatever, just relax in the middle of the day till the assembly line got fixed. And then they went back to work. They cheated their employer. I mentioned this about unions, and I'm not going to say any more about that, except that in unions, they expect the employer to toe the line. You had best do everything above board and right there. Okay, not any more, not any less. Well, certainly more, but not any less. And yet the union workers don't. They don't follow rules. They don't follow protocols. Why? I don't have to. I'm a union guy. Okay? Yeah. I have a couple that I work with or work around that I know down there. That's their attitude. I'm a union guy. I don't have to do this. I don't have to put forth the effort. I don't have to follow their rules and their regulations. They just want me to be a slave, a servant to them. Well, wait a minute. When you signed on here, you signed a piece of paper that says, I will follow all the things, and then you're not gonna? Cheating the company. Oh, but I can because I'm part of the union. No. Because the corporation are always against the worker. Not always. Not always. In my work history, there's always been the option, if I didn't like the job, I could quit and find another one. Based on this line, I was looking for a job when I found this one. You know? You can always go someplace else. Oh, no, but this company owes me. No, sorry, doesn't. Okay. But in these next couple of verses, God, it's about cheating somebody. Diverse ways, many different weights, many different measures. He says that twice, diverse weights and measures, a false balance, that's another word for measures. We have to deal with people equally, okay, and not cheat them. Okay. But it's okay, I can, on my income tax, file a false thing because the government just has too much money. Doesn't matter about them. It's you, like I said, like God says. This balance that you use or the measures that you use by the way that you say things, you know, and measure yourself against others, doesn't matter about you. Doesn't matter about the other person. It matters about God and your relationship to God. Don't cheat anybody. And yet, it seems that Christians and churches have a bad name among people, among jurisdictions. And the reason how I know this is because when a church tries to pull a permit, man, they're put through the ringer. About pulling a permit, you got to make sure of this, you got to make sure of that, just like everybody else does. But it seems like churches are denied a whole bunch of stuff. Why? Because churches have been known to cheat, to go on the sly, to not do things correctly. Seriously. Both in Coeur d'Alene, when we first moved up here, I was a member of a mission work over there. We tried to get stuff, and there's a lot of people that wouldn't rent to us because they rented to churches in the past. The churches come in, they destroy the building, they don't keep the upkeep on it, they don't do their share of the contract or the bargain that they signed, the rental lease, and leave without any sort of further ado. Same thing happens when you try to pull a permit. Okay. Churches have, we only answer to God on this. Sorry, God says you answer to everybody, as well as me. If you're going to answer to me, you got to bring up your level of expectation of yourself in your business, in your business dealings. I know a church had built out in the valley, actually out Liberty Lake. I was going to say Newman Lake, but it's Liberty Lake, up the road. And they were wondering why they couldn't do this, why they couldn't do that, why somebody come out and Newman Lake also there, another church built, why that they couldn't do all this stuff. Because why the government was, the local jurisdiction was on their case about things. It's because the local jurisdictions have been cheated by churches before. Churches do substandard wiring. No, yeah, because we figure that we can do just what's good enough for us. Okay. This church, I admire this church. We have always pulled permits for things that we've done here. We have always gone above and beyond what the government requires or expects in order to be honest. Okay. So that way nobody can come back on us and say, hey, you guys did this and this and this. Or if we go to sell this building, they can't come back and say, hey, there was no permit pulled in for 35% of the work that was done. And it was done shoddy. I've known plenty of people who have bought old church buildings and they have to rewire it because people add on and add on and add on incorrectly. You think that's unfair? Well, God says it's an abomination. Diverse measures and weights. The way that you judge things, that's a measure. If you think that other people ought to toe the line when they do businesses with you, then you ought to do the same thing with other people in your business dealings with other people. I don't care if you go into the sleaze bucket down on Sprague to buy a vehicle. You sign a contract saying, I'll buy this vehicle for X amount of dollars. And if you defer not to pay, you're cheating them. You're using a different measure on your personal life. Okay. Verse 14, it is not, saith the buyer. When he has gone his way, then he boasteth. Okay. When people go out and buy stuff, okay? I don't know, garage sales, stuff like this. Man, they try to get the best deal, don't we? I mean, we haggle, we do all kinds of things. This here in the haggling business, you know, the guy that's buying says, you know, this is nothing, come on. You know, you just got it. And then after the business is done, after he's basically coerced the people, I watched a guy do this to an old guy on buying a vehicle. He basically had this old man in tears and forced him to sell it to him about $3,000 or $4,000 less than what the asking price was. And I turned around and said, you got to be kidding me. You ought to be ashamed cheating that old man of the money. Well, I got it for a good deal. When he'd gone his way, he's boasting. I said, you got to be kidding me. Sometimes we do that. We're guilty of that. You know, dealings with people, we just kind of, you know, put the screws to them and try to haggle the price down and finagle it down lower and lower and lower and lower and lower. Oh, this is wrong with the thing. That's wrong with the thing. Blah, 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 blah. It's like, man. And then we say, I got a good deal on that one. I can turn around and sell this for 10 times more than I bought it. I've watched Pete do this. He does not cheat people when he buys stuff. Okay? I watched him. It's like, you know, these people come in and basically offer him this stuff for dirt cheap and, you know, pay a bill or something. You know, he works his deals, but he goes to the auction, he buys the stuff for cheap, and he turns around and sells it. I wish I had that business acumen. Why? Because then I could go and make money on the side. The idea is not to cheat people, not to be dishonest, not to be in a point where somebody can come back later on in life and say, you cheated me of this or that. Paul, at the end of his life, you say, oh, Paul was just being proud and boasting and bragging. No, Paul said, look, nobody can come up and accuse me of anything. I have lived my life above board for you guys. In your sight, in God's sight, nobody can come up and say I cheated him of anything. Nobody can come up and accuse me of an impropriety act or an act of impropriety. Nobody can do that. Boasting? No. Living his life honestly before God and with man. Can we say that? Is there something that somebody can come back onto us and say, hey, you cheated me way back then. Better make it right. Is there something that somebody can come back on you and say, hey, in our business dealings, you actually cheated me of this. You lied. Nope. I had a pastor at one point. He was selling an item, he bought an item from a friend of mine that I worked with. Okay. Bought the item. The friend was telling me that he got cheated. He said, first thing he did was accuse me of lying trying to sell the item. And I said, you're kidding me. Yeah, he said it was no good. He said it was blah, 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 blah. If you want to know what the item was, it was a pair of studded snow tires. Okay? Did you know when you run studded snow tires, they wear just a little bit? Even at the first 100 miles. My pastor at that time accused this kid of selling him a piece of junk. Trying to sell him a piece of junk. No. The guy said he had a month or two of driving on him. And the pastor tried to accuse him of cheating by saying, oh, this is a couple years old. They're almost wore out. No. So the kid was complaining to me. Was a friend of yours? That's your pastor? You know, and I turned around and had a good talk with the pastor about that. I said, you can't be doing this. No wonder people don't like this, like churches, like Christians, because we cheat, we lie, we steal. Oh, but I'm not a drunk. Oh, but I don't go out and commit fornication everywhere. But you cheat, you lie, you steal. If you have violated one portion of the law, you have violated the whole law. Ooh. You know that pen? I'm a stealer of pens. I really am. And it was bad when I worked at Abacus. I was in offices a lot. I'd borrow a pen, you know, from the desk I was at, write my things down, and pocket it and go away. It was like, well, it's just a pen. No, I stole that pen. I'm a thief. I admit that to you guys. Here now, I'm a thief. The bread of deceit, verse 17, is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. That's a guilty conscience. If you cheat somebody, sometimes we think that, man, I just got a good deal. I got great things. I just blah, 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 blah. You know, we feel good about it, don't we? Yeah. But later on, hopefully, if we're children of God, if we've lived our life with God, if we're in contact with God, God will come back and convict us of our sin. Convict us where we are wrong. Like, wow. Wow. Yeah, but they're still sinners. They're wicked people. They're people. It doesn't matter. You remember the Gibeonites? Anybody remember the Gibeonites? Joshua and those people are coming in. They're tearing across the land. They're defeating everybody. They're, you know, everybody has fallen before them. The big kings, right? Here comes this people. Who is that coming up here? I don't know, Joshua, but they have old clothes on. Their bread is all moldy. Their shoes are wore out. Man, they must have traveled a long distance. And then they come up to Joshua. Hey, we heard about the things that God's doing. We want to make a deal that, you know, you won't come against us. Instead, we live a long way away. We won't come against, you know, we won't come against you or anything. And, you know, we just want to sign this deal. Oh, yeah, sure. Full of pride, everybody says, yeah, let's sign that deal. Because they know that we are fearsome. We are awesome. We are people to be feared. They sign the deal, and they find out a couple months later, these people just live over the next hill. Well, that wasn't right. Hey, you signed the paper. Later on, Saul says, well, that wasn't right. Remember King Saul? Remember how Saul got to be king? People went up to Samuel and said, we need a king. Samuel says, you got God. God's your king. We got all these judges and prophets that come out. You know, God is your king. Why do you? Well, we want to be just like everybody else. How's that for a reason, for an excuse? We want to be like all the heathen around here. You know, people that worship Baal, Molech, and Diana and all this other stuff. We want to be just like them, have a king. Why? Is God not being victorious enough with you guys? I mean, when he sends you a prophet and stuff like this, you guys go and you tear across the land. Anyway, so Saul says, that wasn't right. The Gibeonites, they cheated us. So I'm going to start killing Gibeonites. And then God brings judgment down there. Why? Saul, my children signed an agreement down here with these guys. Right or wrong? Oh, yeah, but they're liars. They're cheaters. They're blah, blah, blah. But you signed the contract. You signed the contract without consulting me, by the way. Without consulting God, you signed that contract. Had a big show about it because now these people feared you. And you said, hey, the Pharisees, you were lifted up in pride when you signed that contract. I expect you, Saul, to follow through that contract. Okay? And then later on, when David, I expect you to follow through that contract. You and I can say, oh, that wasn't right. Not our judgment call. God's. It's God's judgment call. He said, look, when you deal with other people, you be above board. You go beyond so that nobody accuses you of cheating. Or that you come back later and do something stupid like Saul did. But they're rich people. It doesn't matter. The rich people have their own reward. Huh? Not all rich people are even wicked. I've met quite a few rich people. I used to work in Santa Monica, California. I was a plumber back then in the construction. I worked for some really rich people. Okay. I came to the front door one night because they called. They needed help. I knocked on the front door. The butler answered and says, you need to go around to the service entrance on the side. Ooh. Because I thought I was lifted up in pride. I could knock down this mansion's front door. And he says, nope, you need to go to the service entrance on the side. Okay, yes, sir. I went around to the service entrance on the side. Worked for that guy a couple other times. He's a nice guy. Really nice guy. Okay? Really personable, you know. Whatever you think about the mansion he lived in and everything else, like, wow, he's a nice man. Okay? He wasn't an evil, wicked, vile person. People have run down our current president for however long he's our current president. Run him down because, oh, he's just a rich, wealthy, wicked guy. He's nasty, blah, blah, blah. You know he doesn't smoke or drink? Do you know that? No, he's got to because no, he doesn't smoke or drink. When he signs a contract, he follows through on a contract. Because, you know, during all this stuff, nobody's brought up an accusation that he's ever cheated somebody on a contract. Wow. Do you know also him being rich and stuff like this? Every property he owns, he pays property tax on that thing. He pays his taxes in by quarterly, you know. Oh, by the way, whatever states he's in, he pays that state tax. Okay? As well as income tax. Did you know in L.A., L.A. County, L.A. City and L.A. County have their own state, have their own tax? It's like, man, I lived there. It's like, well, what is this? What is this? That is your L.A. City tax, L.A. County tax, and California tax, and then your federal tax. Ah! You're kidding me! New York's the same way. Everybody wants your dime out of your pocket. Doing things honest and above board. Let's turn to James. Okay, James. Everybody should be familiar with this. Why? Well, Pastor just finished this. Sorry, I got to look up. I wrote it down, but I forgot where I put it. Where it is. It's James chapter 4, and then... I like these things, man. You can put all kinds of notes. Chapter 4, verse 12. No. Well, then I don't know where it's at. About the rich guys. Oh, we'll go verse 5, or chapter 5. This is what most Christians look at rich people. Go to now, ye rich men. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are a moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered and the rest of them shall be a witness against you. And you shall eat your flesh as if it were fire. You have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. You have lived in pleasure on the earth and have been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed the just, and he doth resist you. Okay. That's the viewpoint that Christians have of all rich people. Not so. Doesn't say all rich men, does it? I will go for the qualification here. This is for the people that love money more than they love God. The love of money is the root of all evil. Do you know in my dealings with people over these years, and yeah, I'm only 60. I agree, I probably don't have the experience that any of you have. I'll be 61 here in a couple months. And I don't have California, all, you know, here and there. I know that everybody says, well, you don't have my experience. Well, you know, I've met rich and poor. I have met more poor people who love, have a lust for money than rich people. Rich people say, hey, all I got to do is put money in the bank, and it makes money. All I got to do is wisely invest and not put forth a whole lot of effort, and it'll make money. Okay? Poor people, man, they obsess over money. Why? They ain't got it. Just take your time, sister. You know, poor people say, well, I ain't got no money. And then they get jealous of rich people because rich people got money. They don't even have to be rich, just more well off than they are. They are the haves, and I'm a have not. You got to be kidding me, man. Most have nots have not because, well, they don't work for it. Personal experience. Or something has happened to them beyond their abilities. And so why would you get mad at a rich person just because they got money? Or somebody that's more well off than you are. Somebody who's worked hard and paid their bills. Okay. But here it says, the cry of the laborers that you've cheated comes before the Lord. Who are we to call a judgment and try to enforce that judgment? By cheating the rich person. Do you trust God? Well, God says, you pray to me, I'll answer prayers. The cry of those that are cheated will come up to God. And he'll answer in his way, which is a whole lot worse than I can ever do to a person. Honest. Conviction of the Lord on the heart of a guy, on the heart of a person, that's worse than any conviction I could ever put on something. You know, I could twist somebody's arm, break their fingers, or whatever, but it's still not, that's not as bad as being convicted in your soul, in your heart. If you don't remember such a time when you were convicted like that, hey, why don't you remember? The other verse I had was, and I thought it was, you know, here, the people that said, hey, we're going to go to such and such a city and make such and such a money, you know, bragging about this is the business we're going to do. And there's a little caveat there. Watch out. You ought to say, first of all, if the Lord wills. If it be within the will of God, I'm going to go here, I'm going to do this, I'm going to make this amount of money. Why? Because you can't borrow on tomorrow's favor. You cannot borrow on tomorrow's grace. You cannot borrow on the promise of tomorrow saying, well, yeah, tomorrow things will be bad. No. Sufficient, the Bible says, is the evil for today. Oh, and not the evil around about you. The evil that's up here in your head and your heart. Most people say, oh, tomorrow will be a different day, and tomorrow this, tomorrow that, tomorrow. It never winds up being today. Tomorrow I'll live my life better for Christ. It's always tomorrow. When does it become today? Oh, I'll start differently tomorrow. No, why not today? In the here and now, when you can do something about it. Like I said, we try our best to borrow off of tomorrow's grace when we ought to be concerned about the evil that's in our heart today. Now, like I said, this has to do with business, with dealing with people. With our dealings with other people, whether they're saved, whether they're lost. If they're lost and a vile person, you shouldn't do business with them. If you find yourself having to do business with that person, then you better do the best you can. Be honest as well. Be God honest in that. Because I tell you, otherwise you find yourself like David. When he had Uriah killed, everybody knew about it. The deceit, the deception. He just hung them out to dry. Lost people knew it. And they had an opportunity to blaspheme God. And Nathan came up and later and told David, and they had every right to, David, because of you. Your actions gave them the right to blaspheme God. To run God down. To belittle God. Because your faith in God was sorry. Your trust in God, your actions being a child of God was very sad. And other people could run down God. Oh, by the way, for some it was a stumbling block for salvation. Because of what David did to Uriah, there were some, I bet, that could not be lost. Because of what David did to Uriah. Uriah, a faithful man. Uriah, okay, who loved his wife and he loved the people of God more. Where he said, why should I go have a night with my wife? And I'm going to stay out here on the footstool because my friends, my brothers, the people of God are still out there in the field, on the battlefield. That's where his mind was, with the people of God. Why should I be here at ease in my own house when they're out there? A just man. Yeah, a righteous man. It's like, you got to be kidding me, David. You would treat Uriah, faithful to you, faithful to people of Israel, like that? Just to cover a sin? The deceit, man, has just stunk to heaven. David had his judgment on that. Oh, and not only judgment, condemnation, he also went through it, the punishment. People say it's the judgment of God. Well, judgment of God is nothing without the punishment of God. The day of the Lord in the Old Testament a lot of times refers to the actual judgment of, or not the judgment of God, but the actual punishment of God coming into a country. What we have to be careful for was that the day of the Lord does not come upon us as chastisement for our sin, of our cheating our fellow man, even cheating our fellow Christians. I have heard some, oh, I don't tithe because the church is rich. I'm laughing at that out loud because unless you tithe, the church has no money. What? You don't understand how that works. And so when people don't tithe, they're cheating the church. Oh, how is that cheating the church? Well, it's like when God said way back, will a man rob God? With tithe and offering. Cheated God. How do we pay for the lights here? How do we pay for all these fancy flowers? A lot of them were given to us for free. A lot of them were, you know, secondhand store stuff. Who cares? How do we pay for it? How do we pay for the comforts that we have? The heat, man, it's a little warm in here for me. How do we pay for that? And we're not freezing like it is outside? Tithe and offering. If you don't see that, I mean, come on. You don't see the reason for paying taxes. Oh, we got to tax all the rich people so that way the poor have something. You know, the reason the people are... Sorry. It's a thing here because... Wait a minute. If the rich don't make money, you can't tax them to give to somebody else. Seriously. If my boss does not make money by my actions, he can't afford to pay me. You know, I used to fill out invoices, and Pete, every now and again, I got to fill out invoices for my snow plowing stuff. You know, it's like, okay, maybe Alan does. And he does it, okay? If Pete never fills out that invoice, he doesn't get paid. If he never gets paid, he can't pay his drivers. So the next time it snows, half of them are going to say, you have to wait until the last time you didn't pay me. And now Pete's got to work, you know, 4 days to do one day's work. It's like, wow. And if those people say, well, Rich, he's a rich guy, or Pete, he's a rich guy, I'm not going to pay him. If they don't pay him, he can't afford to pay anybody else. It's a vicious cycle. If you don't understand some of these things, then you ought to wrap your mind around it and think about it till you do. Because the way we do business is our testimony before the people. Okay? When Pastor came up, our, what's the committee? The pulpit committee. We asked him questions. He's a local guy. Okay? Born and raised here mostly all of his life, except for the stint in Missouri. You were born in Missouri. Massachusetts. Okay, whatever. Anything over the, beyond the Mississippi River is kind of the same. Anyway, the question we asked them, is there anybody here locally that can come back to you? Your family, business dealings, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's the only time I've ever had the opportunity to ask a candidate for pastor at that, because all the other pastors, you know, well, they're in other portions of the country. How are you going to find out? You won't. Here locally, his business dealings for the last 20, 30 years, it's like, you know, his family dealings, they could come up and say, you cheated me. You were dishonest. His brothers and sisters could come up here and say, hey, he's a liar. Now, it makes a difference as a pastor of a church. It should also make a difference for governor, by the way. When somebody says you're a liar, I can prove it. It's like, no, I don't think so. But what would that do to this church if he was found to be a corrupt, dishonest businessman? We'd have to fire him. Or if we kept him, we'd say, oh, well, we're going to live with this little bit of sin. We're going to allow leaven to come into the church and leaven the whole entire lump. Can't do it. Can't do it. Like I said, I was glad we asked that question. And, you know, his answer? No. Yeah, nobody can come back. And it was honest. It was not like we can see his face and see him searching for a way to lie something. No, it was honest. You know, that's a breath of fresh air for a lot of things. It really is. I hope you guys understand our business affairs, our dealings with other people is very important. It's a testimony of the Lord. And if you're not honest, if you're going out cheating other people, there are people out here that can condemn God and this church, by the way, because of your actions, and they have a right to. Don't be that person, please. Don't. Okay. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Father, for all things you've given and provided. God, I pray and ask you just help us to understand these words. Father, understand your will for our life. Understand our place in society and the responsibilities that you have placed upon us. Father, I pray and ask, Lord, that you would just be with this church here in the preaching hour. Be with Pastor, Lord, that you give him strength for his body, strength for his mind, strength for his voice. Lord, that he can open and utter those things that he needs to, Father, with all boldness, with all fearlessness, Father. Father, and I pray that you just bless these services. For Christ's name we pray. Amen.